welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm thankful you tuned in again this time, and we're taking up our study here in Luke chapter 13 and verse number 31. The Lord Jesus is there in a synagogue, and he's there teaching. He's talked about some people that have died some terrible deaths, and explains that if folks don't repent, they'll the same way perish in a terrible, terrible destruction. He talks about the fig tree that wouldn't bear, and the long suffering in that. He heals this woman of the spirit of infirmity, and the leader, the ruler of the synagogue, says that it's work, and the Lord calls him a hypocrite in verse number 15 of this chapter, and saying you'll do more and care more for your ox or your donkey than you will for this daughter of Abraham. He said she should be loosed. Well, what a better thing to do on the Lord's day. He talks about the kingdom and what to liken it unto, and a grain of mustard seed that grew, and leaven that a woman put in meal, and it just goes. That's the way the kingdom of the Lord is. It's just expanding and expanding and expanding indeed. A man asks about the few that are saved, and the Lord challenges him and us. You strive to enter in at the straight gate. Don't worry about the number that are saved. And of course, we have a desire for people to be saved, but don't be worried about making the count. You make sure you're right. You make sure that you are on your way to be with the Lord. He talks about here in these verses, in verse 25 through 30, about the unlikely citizens of the kingdom of heaven, and how it'll be that in that day when Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are there, and the prophets are there, that it'll be the unlikely ones, at least noted by men, thought by men, that the unlikely will be the ones that come in down there and sit and visit with our brethren, and others will be thrust out. Where we pick it up here in the scripture in verse number 31, where the scripture says, "The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, Get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee." So they make a threat against the Lord Jesus that Herod is going to get you. You keep talking like this, and you keep exposing yourself. You keep from the standpoint of making himself, and there in public and doing the miracles, doing the preaching and teaching and that, you make it easy, Herod's going to kill you because you keep pressing. You keep pressing in that regard. And he said unto them, "Go ye and tell that fox." That's the Lord Jesus' response. He's not afraid of Herod. Even though Herod is the tetrarch or the governor of Galilee, the Lord Jesus is not afraid of Herod. He says, "You go tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils and do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected." Speaking about his resurrection, he said, "You can't stop me. Herod cannot stop me. You go tell that fox what I am doing." And so I find that very interesting. They look to threaten Jesus with the governor of the district or the region that he was from, and he was not threatened at all. Verse number 33, "Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem." And so the Lord Jesus is a prophet. He is the prophet, and he said, "I'm going to go, and I've got what I got to do tomorrow, the next day, and the next, and because I'm going to perish, I'm going to die at Jerusalem." He knows. In verse number 34 and 35 is something that is relative to the nation of Israel. It's relative to the fig tree that he has referred to earlier in the chapter. I believe that the fig tree is a symbol of the nation of Israel, and the Lord has been long suffering. The Lord has been, God the Father has sent even his Son, not messengers as the Lord, as the Lord told and has told in different things that he's preached, where he gave a parable that a master, a rich man, built a vineyard and then let it out to individuals so that they might grow the grapes and make, you know, reap the harvest and make the wine. And then when it came time, he'd come and collect the rent. And so he would send servants, and they abused them and killed them. And then he thought, well, I'll send my son. They'll reverence him. They won't do that to him. And they said, oh, this is the heir. And so they killed the heir and threw him out of the vineyard. And the Lord asked, he said, what will the Lord do to those miserable men? And the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, lawyers, they answered, he'll said, he will kill those miserable men, and justice and vengeance. And that's, the Lord's given a picture of what's happened. And so all the prophets before have been abused and neglected and, not believed by the people and for as a whole. And so the prophet of prophets has come, and they are rejecting him. Our Lord Jesus says this in verse number 34, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. And it's an exclamation point that's there. The Lord's declaring this loudly and plainly. He said, I've sent to you my men, and you stone them, and you kill them, and you reject my word. I would have gathered you together and healed you and blessed you, but ye would not, and ye would not. Verse number 35, it's come to the time of an ending. And that's the way it is with the Lord. He's long-suffering. He gives a command. He gives a blessing. He's long-suffering, 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 long-suffering. And then there comes an end to it. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And so the Lord Jesus, some 2,000 years ago, declares, I'm putting an end to you, Jerusalem and my nation. Now, that time has been 2,000 years. And the Lord made a great statement, you know, when he was crucified and died on the cross of Calvary and gave up the ghost, he made a great statement where the veil of the temple was written twain top to bottom. And then in 70 AD, when Titus came in and destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, you know, Judaism was put out of business when Jesus died, and that of observing the law, the ceremonial and sacrificial law, the Lord fulfilled it all. And so, and then the nation of Israel was done, and the Lord made a decisive conclusion and scattered the nation until in the time of the recent, the past century, Israel became a nation again back in the 40s, 1940s. And so he said, your house is left to you desolate, and verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. It's talking about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came the first time as Savior. He's coming the next time as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, riding on his white horse. And they'll see him, they'll look upon him whom they pierced, and they will know that it is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord's Messiah. And so the Lord says it's done. In other passages in the Gospels, it talks about the Lord taking the keys of the kingdom from Israel and giving them to his church. His kind of church, and the church that he built during his ministry and left there at Jerusalem. You want to know about God, and you want to know about the salvation of the soul. You want to know about what God's plan and work is as revealed unto men. You go to his institution, and the Lord is done working through his institution of his nation, and now is working through the institution, we speak in the corporate sense, of his church or his churches. And so it's done. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ came and as John writes in John chapter 1, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. The Father, as the Lord told in the parable that I mentioned earlier, the Father sent his Son, and knowing that the Lord Jesus would be rejected, but along that parable that the Lord Jesus gave, surely they will reverence my Son, and they did not. And so the nation is done and has rejected their own, their Savior. In Luke chapter 14, verse number 1, the scripture says, "And it came to pass as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him." And so they're watching Jesus. He's been invited to one of these Pharisees' houses to eat on the Sabbath day, on the seventh day of the week, on Saturday. And so they're watching him. "And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy." So this man is he's got a paralysis. Maybe it's in his face. He's not able to move like you can normally move about and go about. So he has this condition. "And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?" And so he asked him again. He just had this with this woman that had this spirit of infirmity for all these years, and rebuked them for their care for their animals more than they cared for their neighbor, for their sister in the nation. And so the Lord asked the lawyers and the Pharisees that are there, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?" And they held their peace. You know, they said nothing. They would not be found agreeing with him. They would not be found agreeing with him, but they wouldn't speak the truth because of that. But they knew better than to contradict it. They knew that there's nothing wrong with healing on the Sabbath. I believe that they knew that, but they used it as a point of argument against the Lord. "And they held their peace, and he took him and healed him and let him go." How sad. I mean, it's great that the Lord healed the man, but how sad their attitude. It's like the spirit of those that we have today. They're insurrectionists and anarchists. They don't want any good to come about. Anything that's righteous, they are against, and they will cut their own nose off to spite their face, so to speak. They will, the things that are right and good and just and correct, they will deny, so they can deny the truth of the Lord. It's sad. May the Lord help us and help us as a nation. I see that our time has passed for now. May our Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Rill Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.